Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With David Slack. Morena, David, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm good.
That is good. That's good to hear. How's Level 3 treating you and your bubble?
Yeah, I'm sitting at my keyboard mostly, pounding out a daily newsletter called subslack.subs. Jeez, I really duffed that plug.
Subslack? Is that the one?
Subslack.substack.com. Click over there, everybody. I invite you to come and see the daily fun.
Excellent. Well, I have had a look, and it is awesome. And this is where you're sort of publishing your writing at the moment, which is great to see, David.
Yes.
And it's been a busy couple of weeks since we last spoke to you. I want to start by talking a little bit about the election date moving. That is, of course, being pushed out a month, as it was announced by the Prime Minister earlier this week. So October the 17th is the new date. What are your initial thoughts around this? Do you think this is a good decision?
Yes, I think it was... good face saver. She has a knack for finding the face saving common ground that'll work for everybody, and that achieves that. You also have the effect of neutering the objections that might otherwise run rampant.
Mm.
That there's some kind of perceived disadvantage. What was implied by this when she talked about adapting, like we all have to adapt, as indeed we do in these new circumstances, is this can be an election that works fairly for everybody if everybody adapts to the way this strange circumstance presents itself, so get the hell on and do it. And so everyone, it's now incumbent on every participant, every party, every candidate to do that. And it is perfectly possible, of course, for us to have an election with a combination of online and mail-in and presenting it in person. You can't say for certain that you won't necessarily have some kind of disruption again a month from now, but it's also fair to say that you can conduct an election with disruption.
Mm.
And that's all been made clear now. It's been enough time has been created for all of that to be recognised and absorbed, and so on we go.
And I'm kind of curious as to what your thoughts are around how this might affect, especially we've got 5,000 new young New Zealanders who will be eligible to vote in this. Do you think that this extra month is going to make any difference to how people think about the referendums that are happening at the same time? Because political parties and the actual election is one thing, but we do have two huge referendums coming up on cannabis and euthanasia, and there is still a lot of conversation, I think, to be had or being had around that at the moment. What are your thoughts on how that might be affected by this, or will it be affected by this?
I have wondered if, you know, from the point of view of spectacle, you might get this cliffhanger and those last 4,000 or so might make the difference. There's a frustration here, really, that because of everything else that's been going on this year, it hasn't really created much room for debate about either referendum topic, and I'm not sure that one more month is going to change that much. There's a strange kind of conservatism amongst people in the, shall we say, 30-plus demographic that surprises me, really. You know, you talk to people who have happily smoked it, but also feel that somehow weed is something too dangerous to make better controlled, if you can follow that logic, which of course is impossible to do. But that seems to be a mood, and it's really frustrating because, you know, what we've got here is a proposition, and sorry, I'm kind of ignoring the end of life referendum in saying this, but the... There is so much sanity in making a change to the bill, the proposed bill that we would be voting for if we were to vote in favour of the referendum. And it dismays me to see that there's sort of not a willingness to contemplate the arguments that are being offered.
How do you think we have some conversation between now and the election, the new election date? Do you think there's still room to have more conversation around both of these referendums?
The optimist in me says, well, sure, you know, there's a whole ton we could be doing. And yet there's a kind of inertia to all of this that makes it hard to know. Sorry to be negative.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting.
I just wonder what can happen between here and there to change things, because I haven't really seen much of a mood for it, I suppose. And there are some very capable people fronting this, from the Drug Foundation to Kwame Swarbrick to Helen Clark. I mean, they are really, really good at this shit. and they're making really cogent arguments.
Do you think people just haven't understood, or there hasn't been enough conversation around some of the effects that it being illegal, cannabis being illegal in New Zealand, has on, you know, the justice system, our health system, and inequalities as well that come up through that? Do you think that's something that's been missing maybe from the conversation more broadly for that demographic that you were speaking about just there?
Yeah, I think it needs to happen at a dining table level. You know, I saw our daughter, who you know, deploying all of her arguments with some friends of ours in Wellington. Amongst them was the one guy who was my supplier, basically, all through university.
Right.
And he's against it. But
that's interesting.
She was walking him through, simply because he was sceptical. He wasn't sure it was going to work. Well, she was walking him through all of the specifics, and in particular, the harm that was being done by the effect of that people were being dragged through the court system, and especially Maori, disproportionately. Mm. And she, as you would know, had all of the numbers, and she was walking him through it, and she more or less flipped him. So,
yeah.
You know, if you could have enough of that happening, that'd be great. But so I'm not sure that is happening or can happen. But I suppose, you know, I'm just sort of figuring this out as I say it out loud.
Mm.
That is how it happens in the end. It's just enough time and space with people who've got enough material marshalled to be able to talk people through it.
Well,
so I don't know. Maybe it needs a moving cottage meeting.
Yeah, that sounds like not a bad idea if we can make it work. David, let's just talk very briefly about Level 3, because, of course, we're living in it at the moment. I'm curious to know your thoughts on the idea of schools, some secondary schools returning, and some senior students in Year 12 and 13 being able to return on an exemptions-based process, as the Prime Minister said to us yesterday. But what are your thoughts around this? Do you think this could be problematic for teachers or for principals? Do you think there might be a bit of pressure there to have students back in classrooms before people feel comfortable or ready to manage that?
Yeah, for one thing, there seems to be a little bit of an inequity to it. You know, you've got Auckland Grammar principal leading the charge here, and it's arguably more viable for kids there to present themselves than it is in many other Auckland high schools, where you're hearing, anecdotally at least, that there are kids who actually haven't been turning up at school because they're needing to go and do part-time work to help support struggling families. So you've got a whole big problem there. This specific bit of it is possibly more an issue in theory than in practice, in the sense that I'm not sure how many are going to turn up and do this, given that what's contemplated by the ministry is some very specific instances where it has a practical requirement, arguably, and it would be desirable, therefore, for the students to be there. And it has to be one bubble, and it has to be socially distanced, and you have to apply for it first. And all of this happening in the context of possibly only being in Level 3 for a little bit longer. And so, you know, how much of this will actually take effect before we come back to Level 2 anyway, you wonder.
Sorry, you carry on, David.
Well, I was going to say, but the principle of it that it identifies does seem to create a few problematic concerns. And, you know, if you look at the wider proposition. There's inconvenience all over the place, and inconvenience is understating it. You've got businesses in great difficulty, and so, you know, a lot of people are taking a lot of hurt here. I can give you any number of examples of people who had their high schooling disrupted for a term, a year or more, and life turned out just fine in the end. You know, it's a real disappointment and frustration when this kind of thing happens. But I don't think necessarily this is going to be a lasting blight on the education of our young people.
Perhaps the real issue in the meantime is the anxiety that students are facing as well, because that's huge. The mental health impacts of this are huge. That should be more centralised in the conversation then. Perhaps that's something we haven't heard yet.
Yeah, I'm sure, and I think there's a compelling argument for providing extra resources for that kind of support in all of the schools. There are some longer adaptations that need to go on here that aren't really being contemplated, and that's not they don't necessarily have to be onerous, but I think they may turn out to be enduring in terms of how we go on forever wearing masks in certain circumstances and distancing in certain circumstances and maybe changing the layout of bars forever.
Lots of change, isn't it? Yeah.
And I'm sure that horrifies a lot of people to contemplate it. But, you know, you do over time change social habits forever. In the name of public health, it's been done and it's stuck, like, for instance, sanitation and things like that. We would appear to be in a time now where a lot of those things are going to need to change, even in the advent of a vaccine, because I think what it's demonstrated to us is that we are really vulnerable to pandemic, and if we think this is the last one, we're kidding ourselves.
On that very bleak but potentially wise note there, David, we might have to wrap it up this morning, but it's been lovely to chat to you.
Likewise, Rachel.
And,
can I say it again?
Substack.substack.com. Fantastic. We'll see you on the internet then. Cheers, David.
Thanks, Rachel. Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with David.